take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The views and opinions expressed here on the Pensacola Expert Panel are not those necessarily of News Radio 92.3 1620, but those of Terrence A. Gross of Gross & Schuster, attorney at law.
Well, good morning. It's 10:35 here at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm super excited. We have Terry Gross on with us today. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
I'm super excited. You always have a really awesome topic to talk about with us.
Well, I do today. I am a personal injury lawyer, but you know, a lot of times it may get dry. And I thought I'd talk about something outside the scope of my practice. But before I do that, I'd like to let the public know that when I began in 1979, that 80% of my practice was actually criminal defense. And I did that for a good 6 years before changing to become an exclusive personal injury lawyer, where I've been doing it now for over 30 years, representing people mainly for car wreck injuries. But going back to my criminal defense background, I'd like to go and jump in on the Chauvin case. It's all over the news. It's got live broadcast. I have to work, so I'm not watching every bit of the court drama day to day like some listeners may. But I read about snippets. I watch some of the snippets, and like last night I got on and I was watching some of the excerpts of trial. But I could tell you this, when I first saw that 9-minute clip of Officer Chauvin with his knee on George Floyd's neck, my reaction today is no different. And I know that they brought up, you know, the defense is bringing up that George Floyd may have resisted, that George Floyd may have had a heart condition, that George Floyd may have been on some type of drugs. All that may be true. But nothing forgives Officer Chauvin for doing what he did for the length of time. I mean, 9 minutes doesn't sound long. I mean, when you watch that videotape, I found myself the first time I watched it, I felt like I was one of the people right there at the scene yelling at the officer. I actually yelled at my TV, get your neck off him. You could see George Floyd's life ebbing out of his body, just going. He went from a little bit conversant to saying a few things, to mumbling, to listless, to unconscious. At some point, any reasonable human being would see that he could easily be handcuffed, that there was no need for this prolonged knee on his neck. It was crazy. So was it criminal? I think yes. I think the answer is yes. So let's talk about the criminality. Now, there are some people that are very emotionally involved in this case. I'm not. I mean, I'm sad that he died, but I'm just saying I'm a lawyer. I'm sort of sitting back, journalistically speaking, and as a lawyer analyzing this. And the way to analyze it, I have to use my Florida experience. I'm not an expert on that state's law, but most states have similar laws. They vary, of course, but there's usually three types of murder on most statutes in most states. First degree murder, which would be, you know, normally premeditated. Second degree murder, a murder of passion. You find your wife in bed with someone and you instantaneously shoot them. You didn't plan to do it. It was instantaneous. That would be something like second-degree murder. And then manslaughter. So manslaughter, contrary to what the public thinks, manslaughter is murder. It's known in most states as third-degree murder. So it is murder. So even if Chauvin gets convicted of manslaughter, which I think that's the appropriate charge, he's not going to get off scot-free. He's not going to have his hands slapped. He's not going to be given probation. he'll probably get a sentence of 10 to 25 years for his criminal negligence. So did he intentionally kill George Floyd? Of course not. I mean, he knew he was being videotaped, so who in the right mind would sit there and do that, intentionally kill him, knowing he's being videotaped by numerous spectators? But was it criminal negligence? Yes. It wasn't just ordinary negligence. Negligence, you know, some people may be texting and they rear end somebody and kill them. Well, that's not criminal. They're not going to be criminally charged for that. If you're drinking and driving, yes, you will be criminally charged. So the law acknowledges various degrees. So there is no way in heck he should be convicted of premeditated murder. So I think the two charges that would apply would be either second degree murder, which is almost like a malicious indifference. So the jury could find that. Because he was smiling. I hated his little smirk. I wanted to reach out to my TV and slap him in the face, to wipe that smirk off his face as he had all these people, and they're yelling at him, "You're killing him, you're killing him." And he didn't seem to give a flip. He didn't react. I think at some point an EMT tried to, you know, make way, let her examine him, and he wouldn't let that take place. So maybe at some point George Floyd had to be subdued, but there has to reach a point, and I can't tell you what minute it was, whether it was 3 minutes, 4 minutes, but at 9 minutes, it's just absurd. And to watch that tape, if you've watched it in full, it seems that 9 minutes seems like 30 minutes. It seems like forever.
Right.
And you just can see everything ebbing out of George Floyd.
Well, I have a hard time watching it. It gives me a lot of anxiety. I mean, as a mom watching it, as just, I mean, a human being. And my question, like, when I first saw it was, why, if it's been this long, why haven't they put him in the back of the vehicle? He's obviously being arrested. Why isn't he in the back of the vehicle and sitting there in a wait, like waiting, like you usually would? So yes, there was a lot of questions, and I know he will receive some form of sentencing, because we all know, if not, but he will, right? There will be complete and total uproar.
True. But the people that want first degree murder, that's absurd. And it would be reversed on appeal if they were to convict him of first degree murder, because I don't think he made up his mind. I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to go kill me a black man. I think right. I'm going to kill me a black man. I don't think that. I just think second-degree murder may very well apply, but even manslaughter, if it's manslaughter, there may be people that are going to riot in the streets if he's convicted of manslaughter, like he got off. That's not getting off, folks.
No.
That's murder.
Yeah.
That is murder, and he'll get a 10 to 25-year sentence. If he's convicted of second-degree murder, he'll probably get more like 25 to life, but he's not going to get off scot-free. And, you know, the defense has got to do what they got to do. I don't blame them. And he's owed a right to attorney. They're probably public defenders representing him. He couldn't have any money. He's lost his job. So these guys are probably public defenders, and they're doing whatever they're supposed to do. So they're bringing up that maybe George Floyd resisted. It's relevant. His condition, all that's relevant. I mean, so it's admissible. The judge is letting it in, as the judge should do, because the jury should hear all the facts. But at the end of the day, if I was giving the closing argument and I was the prosecutor, I would end the case the way I started, because they started with that 9-minute tape. I would absolutely show it again. I would show it again and tell the jury, if you want to see it again back into the deliberations, look at it, because that's the strongest thing. So you could ignore all the other stuff. It's just white noise. It's just white noise. His heart condition, drugs in the system, it's all white noise, because it doesn't matter if he was a prior felon. It doesn't matter. His life was taken. His life was unnecessarily taken by this officer, and it was criminal negligence. So there's a point where you go from ordinary negligence, because officers can make mistakes. We had one in the newspaper, I think, yesterday, where I think a female black officer was reaching for her taser, and unfortunately, it was her firearm. I think the tasers are actually like a firearm. Right. They got different holsters on their hips, and used the wrong one and shot the perp, as opposed to tasing. Her intent was to tase, because she even said simultaneously, "Oh my God, I shot him," and she was surprised that she shot him.
Right, and again,
that's negligence.
Yeah,
that's negligence.
Right, it's not premeditated. She didn't wake up, and a lot of people are still pointing fingers to racism as a part of this too, and bringing that into, you know, context and saying like there's an issue with police officers and racism, and that's why they automatically like are going to reach to like shoot.
Well, that there is a problem, but it's not all one-sided. That again, I could sit back, and everybody's trying to be politically correct, and I don't really worry about political correctness, really. I like to speak my mind, speak the truth, and I think both sides are culpable to some degree. One thing is, I think in society, there has become this resistance to authority, resistance to law enforcement. I know I'm in my 60s. I know I'm white. So you could say, Mr. Gross, you haven't lived in my shoes. But if I'm stopped, even unjustly, and the officer says, put your hands on the steering wheel, I'm putting my hands on the steering wheel. It's like Simon Says, license or registration, I'm going to give it. Get out of your car, I'm getting out of the car. I'm going to obey the officer. I may fight the ticket. I may do whatever, but I'm not, there's this whole thing of just total social resistance of authority. That's not good. It's not a good thing. It could escalate a situation that should not have, ended up in a criminal arrest. So many of these traffic stops should just be that, a traffic stop and nothing more. But if you start disobeying law enforcement, bad things are going to happen, whether you're white or black. So I have to put that out there. Now, are all officers perfect? No. There's like every profession's got bad apples. I'm sure there's bad apples out there. And we've heard different instances, whether it's 10, whether it's 15%, I don't know. But all officers are not racist. A lot of them are black in this day and age. If you look at the Freddie Gray case in Maryland, they were all black. The prosecutor was black. The mayor's black. The arresting officers were black. I mean, so the race card didn't really work that well. But every time there's like a white officer and a black defendant, they bring up the race card, regardless of the facts. And the best example is Michael Brown. Michael Brown was the aggressor. Officer Wilson was defending himself. The grand jury heard everything. They brought in all the witnesses. All the witnesses were black. And the black witnesses vindicated white Officer Wilson, who was found not guilty. And all the forensics showed that Michael Brown was the aggressor. There was videotape showing that Michael Brown was the aggressor. Yet the newspapers and the public bring up Michael Brown as if he's the same situation as George Floyd or whatever. It's just a broad brush. White officer, black defendant, therefore the white officer is guilty. No, we have to look at the facts of every case. And in some cases, the officers are totally wrong, and it is criminal. Sometimes it's just negligence, you know, like this poor officer that accidentally pulled the wrong weapon. I feel sorry for the victim. I feel sorry for the officer. These officers, you know, if they delay 1 second, if they wait 1 or 2 seconds, they're dead. They're the victims. Their family is going to their funeral. So I'd hate to be a police officer in this environment, really, and all the second guessing, even if there's a clean shoot, a clean self-defense, they still are going to be temporarily suspended. They got to go through all this stuff for the shooting, even if it is a total legal self-defense situation. So I've seen a lot of videotape. There's so much videotape on YouTube now, and you could take sides in every case.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's a videotape, like you said before, and I'll reiterate this. When you show that, it kind of just shows how things transpired, but you have to show it again. and go back to it. 9 minutes is too long. It would have been different. I mean, he just wouldn't have died if it wasn't a full 9 minutes. I can imagine just when my kids are wrestling and I yell at them because one will pin the other one down, and you can start to see just like the panic in the one on the ground's eyes, and you're like, okay, I've had enough. Get off each other. It's not okay. You're done. Right? Like you have a referee there. People were saying that to him. People were surrounding. We, in fact, have somebody texting. We have a lot of people actually kind of chiming into this conversation and saying that, you know, yes, there needs to be punishment. There will be. And the people that the officers that watched, basically the officers who were pretty much bystanders, they need to be charged as culprits. Now, what do you think about that?
I think it's going to be factual. That's going to be a little bit more difficult. So Chauvin's easy for me. I'm on the jury. I'm probably convicting him of at least the manslaughter charge, third-degree murder. That would be pretty easy. The officer up front, the Asian fella, he seemed to know what was going on. He was there keeping the public away. He's a little more culpable to what degree because his back was to Chauvin, but he sort of knew what was going on. There was one officer there that tried to tap Chauvin on the shoulder and say, hey, dude, shouldn't you back up a little bit? So I think we have to look at each one of them. And just like Freddie Gray, there were five officers involved that were charged. One of them was laughable. What happened, so Freddie Gray, he did run away. So they were trying to apprehend him. He runs away. Not a good idea. So he's tackled and whatever, manhandled. Then he's dragged back to the police car. And anyway, so at some point he becomes unresponsive. They stop halfway to the hospital. A black officer opens the door, looks at Freddie Gray and checks his pulse and tells the driver, this doesn't look good. And he ends up getting charged. I'm thinking they just throw everybody in it together. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And of course, he was totally vindicated. So I think you have to look at everybody's got their level of culpability. The EMT came up, and I believe the EMT wanted to check George's vitals and was
right,
denied.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we got to look at every case.
Yes, a lot. And there are people, and on top of this case, I mean, I always say, like, there has to be a lesson learned out of all of this. And especially with the other day, you know, whether it's a lack of training or how to help them navigate, I can't imagine, right? And I am just saying this as I view it. I've never been a police officer. I've never been a security guard. I've never done any of that. So this is just from our opinion, right? And I feel like people who have stood in the line of duty and still do, you know, I can imagine the amount of pressure they feel when they're out there on top of trying to keep themselves safe, thinking of their families, protecting our neighborhoods, going into neighborhoods that aren't known for being really safe. And then, you know, having to navigate through all that. So people are saying, like, we do need better training with non-lethal holds and takedowns. They're too dependent on weapons. Training with hands-on combat would also be helpful, and better de-escalation training needs to happen too, so people aren't so quick to react with force. And this is coming from a very pro police officer person, but at some point, yes, something has to change. I do agree with that. You know, there has to be learning lessons, right, from this as we move forward.
And I agree with that. And it's both sides. That's what I'm saying. It's just not all one side
exactly.
or the other.
Agree.
There's a Chris Rock video out there. You might want to Google it after we hang up. Mm-hmm. YouTube of Chris Rock. And this was probably done 10, 15 years ago. And what he's doing, it was meant sort of as a satire, a comedy, almost like a little skit for Saturday Night Live. But what he did was, this is how you should react when a police officer approaches you. And
yeah.
This is what you should not do. So he's behind the wheel, and the officer comes up to him, and he starts doing the F-bombs and whatever, and the officer ends up dragging him out of the car, hitting him over the head with a baton and all that. That's how not to do it. Then he gets back. In the next scenario, he's there, yes, sir, no, sir, whatever you say, sir, and nothing ever happens.
Right.
And I wish they would show that tape because Chris Rock is black. He's got national recognition. That should be a required tape for every high school student in America. Mm-hmm. And if they could just see that, and he makes the point, and it's a very understandable point, but yet there's this social reaction. You get stopped by a police officer, all of a sudden it's game on. It's game on, disrespect. It can't be good. Nothing, you're not going to win that battle.
Yeah.
And he takes something very minor, such as you got a expired tag, and now you're going to get charged with felonies for resisting arrest with or without violence or something like that. And, you know, it's an all uncalled for, all unnecessary.
Right. Oh, yeah. And so, like, back to just the trial a little bit, what do you think is going to be next? And why do you think it's taking so – I mean, obviously, we want a fair trial. That's not what I'm saying. It's like – but just from people being able to see it, getting everything out there, what is next in this step?
Well, it's pretty obvious to me. First of all, I don't think the trial's that long. I think it's gone very quickly. But, again, the prosecution has the burden. These are serious charges.
Yeah.
So they had to bring experts in, even though you can almost play the videotape. Really, I really think the videotape's enough. But no, they had to right. bring in pathologists, you know, about, because they know what the defense is going to argue. So they had to bring in pathologists. They had to bring in police experts. They brought in superior officers from that same precinct as Chauvin. To say that was an inappropriate technique, because they're arguing that this was something he was taught and whatever, he's just doing his job. And so the defense is now presenting the case. So the prosecution is rested, and now the defense is presenting their case. And what are they doing? They're bringing up the physical problems he had, and this and that and the other. So they're bringing up anything they can to mitigate or lessen the charges. As they should. And then I expect that the prosecution may do a very brief rebuttal. So I think we're going to have a jury verdict next week. I think we'll have a jury verdict next week.
Okay.
But what I think could happen, if it's manslaughter, I think there's some people that are going to view manslaughter like he got off, and they're going to start burning up buildings and turning over police cars and rioting if there's a manslaughter conviction. I'm thinking, folks, manslaughter is murder.
Yeah, it's murder.
And it's going to be 10 to 25 years. That's not getting off. A manslaughter conviction is a win.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a good reminder. And I hope that people, you know, remember that. I hope that more attorneys are able to reiterate that to their communities, so there won't be that uproar and backlash. Because, like you said, the defense is just coming in to lessen the charges, not to get him off scot-free, because he is going to be convicted without a doubt.
Well, yeah, I think so. I don't see how there's, and they're bringing up all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, I think it goes back to the video. That's why at closing argument, I would replay the video. You could do all the talking you want, but just letting them spellbound. And the length of that time, the 9 minutes is forever. When I watched it, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. It was just forever. I mean, because he was almost comatose for the last 3 minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
Totally non-responsive.
Yeah. So it all comes back to the video. So if people are worried, a lot of people, they're chiming in, they want to see convictions. And, you know, like you said, we will see it. It will happen. But it does come back to the video if you haven't seen it. I mean, if you don't have a weak stomach, go ahead and watch it. But Terry, thank you so much. Always appreciate
you.